Open your Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. I know some of you are wondering, how in the world am I going to get you out at 11:20? I don't know. So just hang on. They say that history repeats itself. And as I thought about that this week, and I was trying to think of a message, thinking about the message for this week, I got to wondering what it must have been like in the churches, in the synagogues for the Jewish people, for the people of God, just before the arrival of Jesus, the first coming of Jesus, the Messiah. Throughout the Old Testament, the Old Testament prophets had told about the coming of Jesus, so I know they anticipated His coming. They looked forward to it. There was a delay, you know. As a matter of fact, the last 400 years before, just the 400 years just before Jesus was born, there was no new message from God, no new prophecies given. And probably because of the silence and the delay and the time that passed, I'm sure there were some who began to wonder if the Messiah would come. I'm sure there were many who thought, you know, probably He wouldn't come in their lifetime. But regardless of that and regardless of the silence, I got to thinking, you know, on the Sabbath before, the very Sabbath day before Jesus was born, there was some priest, some prophet standing in some pulpit or standing in before some congregation someplace talking about the coming of the Messiah. He probably didn't know that by the next Sabbath day Jesus would be there, but he was talking about it. It occurred to me that the same thing is happening now. Now, God is certainly not silent now. I do want to tell you, since the close of the book of Revelation, since the close of the canon of Scripture, there's been no new word from God. Now, listen, I know there are some guys, men and women both, who will get and stand behind pulpits and on the television and the radio, and they'll tell you, listen, I have a new word from God. Now, if they're talking about a new understanding of what God has already given, that's fine. If they're talking about something new that's not in this book, that's not fine. That's not true. God closed the canon of Scripture with the writing of the book of Revelation, and there's nothing new coming from God. But still today, all over the country today, right here this morning at this church, there are men everywhere, and there's a man here who's going to stand behind the pulpit. And on this Sunday morning, we're going to talk about the second coming of Jesus Christ. And one day, one Sunday, history will repeat itself. And one Sunday morning, the men of God will stand in the pulpits of God and proclaim the message of God and the second coming of Jesus. And before the next Sunday rolls around, He will come. So I got to thinking about the message of His first coming and the message of His second coming, and what were some of the similarities and the things that were happening. I want to read 2 Peter chapter 3. I'm going to read the first 14 verses, and we're going to talk about some of the common things that were happening then that are happening now. Peter said, "This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandments of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust and saying, where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot, and blameless. The first thing I want us to notice is the promise of his coming. The Jews looked forward to the coming of the Messiah, Jesus Christ, because it had been promised by God. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, the Bible says, "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." Isaiah 9, 6 says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." The Jews knew all about the prophecies in the Old Testament that were given. Those were just two. There were many more. They knew about those prophecies because their priest had taught them those prophecies. Parents taught them to their children at home. They were excited. They were looking forward to the coming of their Messiah. For much of their history, the Jewish people were an oppressed people. And so they looked for their Messiah to come and to deliver them from oppression and to set them up as rulers over the earth. One of the reasons that that the Jewish people, for the most part, rejected Jesus is because that's not what he intended to do. But still, they anticipated his coming. And then I mentioned those 400 years, the last 400 years before Jesus was born. There were no new prophecies. The guys still got up. The prophets and the priests still got up, and they still taught. The rabbis still taught. They still told about the coming of the Messiah, but there was nothing new to tell. And as time went on, and as the silence grew longer, people began to doubt. They wondered. Some thought, you know, he probably won't come in my lifetime. Listen, some, maybe many, thought, listen, he's not coming at all. I've heard that since I was a boy. My parents heard that since the time that they were children. My grandparents heard that, and their parents. And all this time, all these hundreds of years, thousands of years, and he's still not here. He's not coming. It's a myth. But the Bible says, Galatians 4:4 says, "But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law." When the time was right in the mind of God, Jesus came. God promised he would come, and he came. So what about us today? It's the same thing, isn't it? God has promised when Jesus left, God promised he'd come again. And here we are, 2,000 plus years later, and he's still not here. And there's guys still in the pulpit, still proclaiming the message. John chapter 14, verses 2 and 3 says, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you," Jesus said, "I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." In Acts chapter 1, verses 9 through 11, the Bible says, "And when he had spoken these things," when Jesus had spoken these things, "while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, 'Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus," not somebody like him, not somebody that knows him, but "this same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." Now, they're doubters today, right? As a matter of fact, there aren't as many sermons preached about the second coming of Jesus as there used to be. Listen, I can remember when I was a teenager, I guess, maybe a little bit younger than that. Every Sunday morning, the pastor preached on the second coming. At least that's how it felt to me. Because I didn't want him to come. Man, I was young. I wanted to grow up and live and do stuff. And besides that, I'll tell you the truth. When he's talked about Jesus splitting the eastern sky and the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God, it scared me to death. And as time, and we sang the song, "The King is Coming." And we'd have, occasionally we'd have some singer come to the church and he'd sing about the second coming. Listen, I can remember as a kid getting ready to come to church and in my mind thinking, well, I just hope nobody talks about the second coming today. And most people aren't talking about the second coming today. And Jesus said, God said, he'll come as a thief in the night. You don't talk about thieves coming to your house, do you? That's not the topic of conversation every day at your home, talking about, wonder if somebody's going to break into the house tonight. Thieves come unexpectedly. Thieves come when you don't talk about them. Thieves come when you don't think about them. Thieves come when you don't prepare for them. And yet God has promised that Jesus will return, and yet we doubt. And the Bible even says, listen, in the last days there will be scoffers. There will be doubters. 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 4 says, and they will say, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. What, aren't we living in that day? We're living in that. Christian people today will say, well, you know, I'm not sure. He may be going to come, but I don't think he'll come in my lifetime. He may be going to come, but it's probably going to be hundreds, thousands of years down the road. Well, maybe Jesus won't come, and maybe North Korea will push the button and that'll be the end of the world. But God said, one day, Jesus would return. He said, this same Jesus that you've seen ascend in the clouds into heaven will come back the same way. Amen. Somebody's not going to push a button and the world is going to be over. The angel is going to sound the trumpet. And Jesus is going to split the eastern skies. And he will declare that time shall be no more. And the world will be done. That's the promise of his coming. Next, I want to consider the purpose of his coming. Jesus came the first time to pay the price for our sins and to offer salvation for all people. Matthew 20, verse 28 says, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Luke 19:10 says, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Listen, we are living, all of us today, we're living in the time between the first coming of Jesus Christ and the second coming of Jesus Christ. We call it the age of grace. And this is the time to have our sins forgiven and to come to know Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. That was the purpose of his first coming, so that you and I could be saved, so that our sins could be forgiven, so that we could have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, so that we could serve him and love him and worship him and walk with him throughout this life on earth and then join him in heaven someday when we die or when he returns. That was the purpose of his first coming. So this is the time. Listen, if you're not a Christian, if you've not confessed your sins and asked Jesus to save you, this is the time to do it. Because the purpose for Jesus' second coming is different. 2 Peter 3:7 tells us that the second coming of Jesus will be a time of judgment. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. I want you to listen to Matthew chapter 25. I'm going to read several verses out of that chapter. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon his throne of glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations. That means every human being living will be gathered before God. Every human being who has gone on before will be gathered before God. And he shall separate them one from another as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, the sheep, the children of God, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Then shall he say unto them also on the left hand, the goats, those who have rejected God, the unsaved. Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Jesus is coming the second time as judge. He's coming as Lord and Savior. He's coming as the Son of God. He's coming as the King of kings and Lord of lords. And He's coming as the judge of all mankind. And when the trumpet sounds and when the sky splits, it's too late. If you are unprepared, it's too late. The purpose of His second coming is judgment. I had a guy tell me one time, it was a difficult situation, and he was in an emotional state. He was angry at me, as a matter of fact. And so I didn't say too much about it at the time, but he told me, he said, listen, God does not judge people. We would really like to believe that, wouldn't we? Because we fall short. But God not only does judge, God is the judge. And judgment is coming. And that brings us to the preparation for His coming. In the Old Testament, those people living before the first coming of Jesus Christ, the Messiah, they had to live in obedience to the Word of God, faithful to God, trusting in God, and looking for the coming of the Messiah. Same is true for us today. We need to live in obedience to the Word of God, faithful to God, trusting that the Word of God is true and that one day Jesus will return. 2 Peter 3, verses 11 and 12 remind us that we should live holy, godly lives in anticipation of the second coming of Jesus Christ. Holy, godly lives in anticipation of the second coming. Verse 14 says, wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of Him in peace, without spot and blameless. It means to live holy, godly lives, and it tells us to be diligent. Listen, I want you to know something, folks. The Christian life is a wonderful life. It's the best life you can live, but it's work. We need to be diligent in our faithfulness and in our obedience to God and His Word. Verse 18 says that we should grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We may start spiritually as infants, but we need to grow up spiritually and become young people and become teenagers and become young adults and become middle-aged adults and to become wise Christians, because we need to grow and mature in our spiritual walk with the Lord. I know it seems like it's been a long time, doesn't it? 2,000 years, 2,000 plus years since Jesus came and walked among us and was crucified and buried and arose from the dead and ascended into heaven and promised He'd come back. And sometimes the delay makes us doubt. But I want you to know, Christian, I want you to know Jesus is coming. One Sunday morning, maybe today, men of God will stand in the pulpit and they'll say, Jesus is coming soon. And before the next Sunday dawns, He'll be here. Would you stand with me this morning? Sheriff, you would please just come and play a song. I'll ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes.